Thanks for listening to Bootleg Avocado. This is your culinary and cannabis podcast. Excited to bring you another episode at the intersection of food, beverage, and cannabis. In this episode, we focus on next level products. Now, with a lot of the products that are being released right now, anything from infused THC honey, milkshakes, elixirs, and popcorn, we're really grateful to really dive into this with this specific panel. It includes Maya Elizabeth, founder of Ohm Edibles, Kevin Huber, CEO of Vertical Growth Innovations, Yoav Bar-Joseph, co-founder and CEO of Knibble, and Elad Barkin, co-founder and CTO of Knibble. Have a listen, and also be sure to follow us on our YouTube page, which actually shows the video version of this episode, and follow us on our website, www.bootlegavocado.com, for future events and happenings. Thanks very much. Well, welcome everyone. Good afternoon and good evening to some of y'all. This is Bootleg Avocado Presents Next Level Products, your virtual culinary and cannabis event series. Thanks everyone for being here. We are broadcasting in our usual channels, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And just bear with me as I kind of move things around here and make sure I'm sharing my screens properly. Okay. Hi, my name is Mara Rodriguez. I am your host and moderator for today. We're very excited to launch things off in our next webinar today. So I come from the natural food space as a chef, having worked in a lot of fine dining restaurants, and then jumped in the startup world. Through Bootleg Avocado, we launched in order to really keep supporting these early stage startups at the intersection of food, beverage, and cannabis, with a real focus on culinary operations more than anything else. So on our end, what we want to do is actually start growing a network on a global scale to really help support growth and these early stage companies. So let me share my screen one more time. Through Bootleg Avocado, our work is grounded on leading collaboration, support, and global innovation in food, beverage, and cannabis. We believe in a culinary first approach to creating socially responsible and sustainable food concepts. We launched our first event on February 27th of this year, showcasing the innovators in the space, and we continue to do so today. So, we're very excited to put this panel together for you. I know last week we chatted about how to really launch products in the space. Today, we're actually gonna chat with business owners who have actually done it and moved beyond the traditional edible into a lot of different SKUs and help to really innovate and push products forward. So before we actually do the intros, just a few housekeeping items. We'll be doing a few poll questions throughout the event, so please participate. This will help to give some information back to our panelists. And also there'll be a Q&A session at the end, which you actually can start putting your questions in the Q&A section or throughout the webinar as you'd like. Okay, so let me get everyone together here. Okay, everyone, thanks for being here. Very excited to put this panel together. We have a lot of different innovators in the space here. Maya Elizabeth, founder of Ohm Edibles and the Ohm Collective. Hey, Maya, how you doing?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Huber, CEO of Vertical Growth Innovations. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Mario.
And we got a duo, Yoav Bar-Joseph and Elad Barkin, co-founders of Knibble under the Pelican.
Hi.
Hey, guys. So we're going to start with you, Maya. So let me put you on spotlight here. So tell us a little bit about the Ohm Collective. I read a lot of stuff about your products. I was actually in California last week. I was trying to grab some and it just didn't work out. And I just want to know a little bit more about your background. You've been in business over a decade. You've been in the industry for two decades. So give us a little bit about the Ohm Edibles line, and then what you guys, have you guys really innovated in the space there?
Sure. Thank you so much. You know, before California passed Proposition 64, which is the recreational law that allows us to work with cannabis in the state of California, we were operating under Proposition 215, which was the medical cannabis law, which allowed people to give model and provide medicine for patients. So anyone who was operating under Proposition 215 before Prop 64 was passed is considered legacy, meaning a predecessor or someone who's come before. So Ohm Edibles is a female-owned and operated legacy company in Northern California. We were lucky enough to be granted the very first permit for cannabis manufacturing in the whole state of California by the skin on my teeth. Just got so lucky to be able to work with this plant. We're formulation forward, meaning we had formulations long before we had a brand, because in the Proposition 215 times, we really didn't want to be associated with our work because we didn't want to be in trouble. It was a high-risk thing. And so now we've created a brand. It's really just our vehicle for our vision of cannabis in action. We believe cannabis is a superfood, something that we can use all parts of for healthful benefit, including the roots and the fan leaf. It transfers on to base CBD. We say we specialize in when we combine cannabis with other superfoods and nutrient-dense ingredients, superior products are made. So that's kind of always been our way about things. If we can create the best quality product that bring people the most relief, we will make our way, you know, to the top. So as of where we are today, we make about 30 different things. Wow. Yeah, mostly topicals. Mm-hmm. Yep, we have about elixirs, which are or sublinguals. We have a vegan gummy and a couple other edibles. And yeah, so that's kind of a little bit about home. We're here in Northern California. We're located in Berkeley.
Awesome. Thank you, Maya, for that. Kevin, let's go with you. Let me just put you on spotlight. So tell us a little bit about Vertical Growth Innovations and kind of the products that you guys have launched.
Yeah, totally. So Vertical Growth Innovations, I mean, I think it's important to mention our beginnings and our foundation, because that's what we've carried with us throughout, you know, our progression. To rewind a couple Vertical Growth Innovations, we started in cultivation in California within cannabis and hemp, and really just with how, you know, the licensing process was going within the state at the time, and how kind of gray everything was, we decided to make the move from cultivation on the cannabis side, and which led into our distribution and innovation hub today. So that's where we're at, and we're positioned in the industry now. Stepping out of cultivation, we help brands and companies launch new products and line extensions with unique and really functional, high-functioning active inputs. So we take it from concept to commercialization. So, you know, at the beginning, we help define a scope for an idea. Mm-hmm. We help line up all the necessary ingredients, you know, literally and non. So really what that stems from is high quality and safe and consistent manufacturing processes to get us these materials to work with. So, you know, on the hemp side, whether it's, you know, water extracted, cannabinoids, rare, minor cannabinoids. We work with different water soluble products. One of our partners manufactures a patented honey out of Southern California. So rather than encapsulating or emulsifying cannabis and hemp oils into a state where they are stable in aqueous environments, we actually formulate a honey that the bees eat and consume strain-specific cannabis or hemp profiles. And because insects in general lack an endocannabinoid system, the entire profile of the plant passes through the bees and naturally into this raw honey. And obviously raw honey is water soluble. So it's very stable, it's very consistent. We also work with infused sugars and salts. Really, we strive to put products out there that hit three main categories that we prioritize, which is the profile, so taste, texture, the spectrum, whether it's full, broad, or, cannabinoid specific. We look at the delivery system. So like I mentioned, the honey, that's a great delivery system, obviously sublingual. Gummies, inhalation, all these are variables to consider. And then we look at the experience, obviously, the user experience. So on the back end, the duration, the effect, the mood, all these are important, right? So once we have that all lined up, we move from concept to commercialization, and we have a prototype, and we line up, the necessary contract manufacturing, labels, compliance, and so forth, really providing, a well-rounded solution.
Awesome. All right, Kevin, thanks very much. Next, we have Yoav and Elad. Let me make sure I just unmute you guys there. Would you guys like to share your screen as well?
Yeah. We can start with that. Okay. So Yoav, you want to start? Yoav?
Hold on. Let me unmute him.
He's in his mute, yeah.
Yeah. Old unmute mute trick. Hold on. Hold on. Let me. Okay. Elad, you might have to jump in here.
Yeah. So basically, we are cannibal. We are doing all the edibles that none of the others are doing. So basically, we are not doing gummies or chocolates. Mm-hmm. We decided to do different product, completely different product that are not recognized in this industry yet. But we feel that we have a space to deliver a lot more experiences with different kind of food. Let me start in the beginning. I want to tell you exactly from where we are coming. I'm in the food industry for the past 15 years. I developed more than 1,000 products to different companies all around the world, actually. And when you're talking about the cannabis industry and the edibles, we saw that basically it was in the beginning, all the product was like, manufactured in a mom's pops, production, small ones without any standards, basically. And when you come from the food industry, you know that standards, the manufacturing standards and quality standards are in first priority because at the end, people are consuming the product. Mm-hmm. So we decided to combine all our knowledge from the food industry. And we have another co-founder that is not here. His name is Ziv. He has an experience of 7 years in the cannabis. So we decided to bring a lot new product, but with a lot more a food standard, as I said. And as you can see from our product, if you could go to see some of those, completely different, like popcorn, you have cupcakes, and you see the three different colors of cannibal. So let's say we start with cannibal, but we understand people, the name is like in Hebrew, it sounds a lot better than in English. Let's say it like that. Yeah. And in English, people are a bit, it sounds like cannibal. Uh-huh. So we launched our brand called the Pelican. So that's easy. Nobody confused anymore. Cannibal. And as you can see, we have three different colors because we want to put as many of cannabis parts in our product. So the green one, basically infused with hemp seed oil, hemp protein, and can be sold everywhere except Israel. Because in Israel, this one is not allowed in edibles. Mm. The pink one is CBD infused. So it doesn't matter if it's broad spectrum, full spectrum, isolate. We can do all of those. And we have the blue one is THC infused. Our technology let us, we actually masking the cannabis flavor almost completely. And I say almost completely because people sometimes look for it. So usually we leave a little bit. And our experience from the product need to be the best product you ever tasted. Because, you know, in the beginning, people said, I'm going to buy that, the chocolate. I can feel the cannabis is very, very strong. But this chocolate with cannabis, so it's okay for first generation product. Mm-hmm. But we feel from the second generation product, people want to enjoy the product. So if it's chocolate, it needs to taste like chocolate. It can, you know, put at the end of the flavor a little bit of cannabis reminder. But basically, people want to enjoy it and to try it again and again because they like it. So all of our shakes, ice creams, all of our products are taste perfect. Taste amazing, I can say even. Because we feel that this will keep customer coming again and again to try the brand. And as our mission statement, we started with the product are fun, with sugar, with everything. But now we are launching a new product line that is basically more healthy and more nutritional. So we're taking the sugar out. So it's based on erythritol or allulose. So it's keto friendly also. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a lot more benefits because we're using the hemp protein. It's a very good plant-based protein. Very low. The flavor is good. The health benefits are amazing there. It's filled with omega 3, 6, and 9. A lot of good oils inside. And we feel that this is the direction to go now. As you can see, we have also cake pops. We have pancake mix. We have currently we are selling 32 SKUs currently. Wow. But basically, we have more than 100 different SKUs already developed. And we are going, and every year we're going to launch new and completely new products. So if now it's powders, next year it's going to be actually spreads, morning spreads, clean label, very healthy, sugar-free. And after that, we have another line and we are going to show them in, hopefully this year is not going to happen, but next year in the MJBs, hopefully. If it's going to come back, nobody knows now. So we are also doing pre-work shakes, recovery drinks. Even our pancakes are with hemp protein inside, with CBD inside. Basically, we are covering, everybody knows Israelis. We have to have falafel.
Falafel, yeah, you need And the hummus.
Yeah, but in the falafel, actually, it's based on hemp seeds inside, hemp protein, and CBD. So all of it together, it gives you a very, very healthy and full with the protein. We are doing spices, you know. You have the pizza spice, THC-infused pizza spice. So every pizza, it's a pizza party. Just bring the spice with you. So that's like easy. And that's the popcorn one, microwave popcorn. Mm-hmm. A lot of different, a bit on the market, a bit on us. But as I said, our IP basically is based on the even distribution of active materials in powders and the flavor masking.
Got it. Okay.
So, yeah. You have?
You can hear me now?
He's back. Yeah. We did it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but you put me on the corner. I couldn't speak.
Well, jump in. Put in your 2 cents.
Okay, so I'll add 2 sentences. I'm coming from the food industry, also a lot. I have 25 years of experience in product development, managing business companies in this space. My main expertise is to take ideas from scratch and actually turn it into a real product that you see on the shelf in the supermarket or eat it in a restaurant or a coffee shop. This is what I'm doing for the last 25 years. Wow. And I brought all this knowledge to our new company, Cannibal. We established the company only two years ago, at 2018. And since that, as Elad already present you, we did a lot of work, already manufactured 32 SKUs that we are currently selling in the market. And we are looking forward to be one of the biggest brand in the US, hopefully, in the next couple of years. Be innovative, bringing all the time new products that nobody has seen, and lead the market.
Okay.
This is our vision.
Well, thanks, Yoav. Thanks, Elad, for that. So let's jump in. Let's go back to the other screen here. Elad, you can cancel the sharing.
Cancel it now. 1 second. Stop share.
All right, cool. All right, so we got everyone here. So let's jump into the questions. So one of the things that, you know, it's always, obviously the landscape has changed a lot. So what's been the major changes that you guys have really looked into or seen in the edibles world and or the consumer packaged goods world? And how do you keep yourselves educated or on the cusp of what's really happening out there? Anyone can jump in.
So I'll start. Yeah, that's definitely a loaded question there, Mario. I think the biggest like challenges and hurdles that we've had to date is really, you know, lack of government regulation, really. I mean, the inconsistencies and kind of back and forths, at least within the US, right? I'm speaking domestically, with the FDA and, you know, with cannabis obviously not being federally recognized and, you know, being fragmented across states. And with how hemp, you know, the farm bill seemed to open up a lot of channels, but the FDA in terms of, you know, interstate commerce and edibles and fusion and everything like that, it's really been a gray area still to this point. So I think, you know, navigating the unknown and trying to understand where the industry is going to be heading, what kind of regulations to expect, and really how to develop products and create infusions that are compliant, safe, and work around those, those guidelines that are hopefully going to be coming out in the near future. So staying up to date and, you know, on top of it, I'd say, you know, really working with good legal teams, you know, making sure that projects and clients are backed with good knowledge and, you know, there's less guessing and more hard facts. Staying relevant with current events and different press releases and technology updates and, you know, in the media is always good. So little things here and there that, you know, you'll miss if you're not looking for them, I guess.
Right. What about you, Maya? I think you're muted there. Oh, there you go.
I was going to touch on something interesting, which is that it's the most popular edible across all legal states here in the United States. And I just thought that maybe it would end, but there's just never been. So there's so many to choose from, and they continue to be the best selling edible, really, state to state. So I think that's interesting. I'm not really sure what that's telling me. Maybe that people like delicious, simple things that are quick for on the go. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen a lot of changes. COVID, topical sales are down far. Edible sales are up a bit. Tinctures are up a bit, but most of all, it's like super cheap flowers and concentrates that people are going crazy for right now. So as type of business is having to pivot and take special care during this time, many people in cannabis are as well. In fact, many people have kind of dropped like flies during this time. So it's still part of the break out here in California. I would say no safe yet. And on top of that, I would say, those are like typical, you know, woes for during these times for a business or hurdles. But our main hurdles, I would say, in California is that we have a higher taxation than any other type of company. And we have a really specific group of hurdles. And we don't always have the support or understanding from the powers that be. Or the protection. I'm sure you guys heard about all the looting and robbing that happened during the protesting time. It was not done by the protesters. It was actually done by opportunists who have been plotting on cannabis businesses forever. And our addresses were published with the licenses, which they've now taken down. So for me, a lot of our hurdles are about undersupported, overtaxed, and not really looked out for like a real and current trends are just so interesting, really, about the gummy. I know beverage is going to be huge this year. I think people are looking for things that they can just enjoy easily. Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Vilad?
Well, as my colleagues here said, regulation is definitely challenging, especially in the US. We see changes almost every day. And this is why some of the reasons we are manufacturing only small batches every time. We order, you know, small orders of packaging, because every time you need to do some changes and it costs a lot of money.
Costly, yeah.
And we need to be up to date, you know, by the hour, I would say, because things are really changing. And every day, every hour, you see in the press all kinds of press releases from the FDA or from other regulators. And it's something new. Nobody knows how to handle it. Not like the regular food industry that, you know, there are strict regulation. And once you follow the regulation, everything is okay. Here we need to be very careful and not to pass rules, as you know.
Yeah.
Not to be on the... We need to stay on the right tracks, I would say. And, this is something very challenging in this industry.
It seems like you're forced to work as and act like you're a startup all throughout, every year, every minute. No matter how many years you've been in the industry, it's like you're in a startup phase every single time. You start, you restop. You know, it's just a lot of things that really happen that, and just trying to be adaptable. So I commend all of you guys on that, in that realm, for sure. So, okay, so let's, Elad, anything from you, or you're good?
No, as you have said, basically, when the FDA will decide to intervene and to put out regulations, you know, it will be easier for everyone to stick to those regulations. But now everybody, as you said, changing daily, weekly, and new surprises every time. So we are waiting for the regulation. As food industry veterans, we like regulations.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy them because that you know exactly what to do.
All right.
You know, I can share with you one more thing. You know, almost every day we get a question from our investors in the company. Listen, I saw the FDA said that, and they send us all kinds of links of new regulations, or somebody said something or spoke about something, and everybody, you know, are afraid what will happen. Maybe they will close the edible industry. So it's an unknown path, but we believe that eventually the FDA will approve it and everything will be regulated.
At least we hope. Yeah, that's good. So what's something that you guys underestimated on day one that most business owners right now or brands really overlook? Anyone can jump on that one.
I would say, I'll jump in. The biggest thing that we overlooked, I think, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of in the same light. It's just that there would be clear, you know, paths to market. You know, when you're selling, you know, shampoo or cosmetics, or when you're selling other consumer goods, there are clear defined paths, you know, like this is, I'm going to, you know, set up my product development. I'm going to have contract manufacturers producing from this state and this geography and have my distribution network. And it's this big, you know, supply chain, you know, full of different logistics that all have to work in, you know, unison. And the biggest thing that we, you know, underestimated or just didn't realize, especially, you know, having the fortune of coming from cannabis, you know, at the time, licensed cannabis in California to really, you know, what we look at is like nationally regulated hemp. We really thought that, you know, moving from cannabis to hemp, that and we would have more set, you know, guidelines years out. And here we are still with, you know, that lack, you know, of an understanding. So I think, you know, coming into this, like you said, Mario, I mean, that was a perfect explanation. Like, it's literally pivoting, you know, day to day, trying to stay, ahead of regulations and trends and really just this whole white space that's emerging of, you know, what do consumers want and how do we get them that in a safe and compliant manner? It's, you know, it's a new hurdle every day, but, you know, it's interesting. If you're an entrepreneur, you know, you kind of feed off of it, so.
I would piggyback off that, and I would say definitely the distribution model has been many people's biggest pain point, along with packaging and other woes, but definitely the distribution model. I would have from the beginning probably started my own sales team and just done fulfillment instead of a full service distribution.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
What about you, Yoav, Elad?
Nothing to add from my side.
Elad? I
completely agree with my colleagues here.
No, I think that what the thing that we thought would be easier is we are dealing now with a lot of the small retailers, you know, because CBD products are basically, let's say, on the verge of getting into retailers, you know, day-to-day retailers, not specialized cannabis. So we are talking with a lot of those, HEB, IV, a lot of the medium, small ones, and all of them are sitting on the fence, you know, waiting and waiting for one of those to start with edibles, and they're afraid because of the lack of regulations. And this is so frustrating because our actually packaging is according to FDA regulation on food. And on top of that, we add any regulation that we found on cannabis. So that's our solution to the problem. So you can say it's 99, you know, FDA approved, except of the active materials inside. But and we are producing also in an FDA approved facility. But still, you know, the industry is on the verge of you know, booming in the retailers, but still nobody wants to be the first. Right. This is, you know, stopping everything.
Gotcha. Mori, I'll add something else too, just on that question before you jump to the next one.
Yeah.
I think, you know, since I was sitting here thinking, you know, the other thing is consumer education. You know, we thought as a team over here, we're formulating products and, you know, coming up with innovation for brands and companies, right? So not only do we need to educate, you know, the manufacturers and our clients and partners on the, you know, the different inputs and, you know, user experiences and that, you know, the multitude of different variables we have to consider when formulating with cannabis, but then they have to communicate that to the mass, to their consumer base, to the general population, right? And it's a very, you know, it seems straightforward, but when you're working with, right, you know, isolates or oils or honeys or, you know, nano emulsions or all these different delivery systems, that it changes, you know, it's not a one size fits all, like, you know, an aspirin bottle, you know how many milligrams you're consuming. And generally speaking, you know, it's marketed as a one size fits all, right? But with cannabis and hemp, there's so many different, you know, the entourage effect comes in and so many different competing and complementing, contributing factors within the formulation that it creates this layer of needing to properly educate the consumer base who are, you know, you're looking to ultimately get to buy that product. So it's definitely a challenge. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you guys have spent a lot of time in the education side of things, which obviously it's a big need, especially for consumers and, you know, get them to really understand where your products, how they're, you know, being constructed, where they come from and what the effects on it. And it differs from person to person, obviously, on the effects of everything. So I know, Maya, you've done a lot of work on that end, and you know, I've followed a lot of your content and that stuff. So I appreciate your help on the education side of things that you do.
Yeah, it's more important in cannabis than really any other thing out there. Cannabis is so unique, it has a wide variety of therapeutic offerings. And one of the side effects that's desired by many, but not by all, is that it gets you high. THC gets you high. And so as many people are after that, there is people that are not, you know, that are more topical and maybe will only be a candidate for CBD for their whole life. Or maybe people switch around. It's just a uniquely personal connection with this plant. Something that has to be so we can educate people. We can provide safe access to quality products. products, and then we can consistently hold those products, which are lab tested again and again, and the inside matches the labeling and all the things. But at some point, the horse has to drink. So, yeah, you can set up all the information necessary, which is super crucial for success with cannabis as a medicine. And at the end of the day, the person will be consuming this edible or joint or whatever the mode of consumption. And that's deeply personal.
Awesome. So I have a question for everyone. This is more of a question that I got from someone else, but it actually rings true to more your customers. So how do you lighten and enlighten your customers?
I'll jump in. We focus very much on ingredients. So a lot of our education has to do with the supporting ingredients. We have multi-herb formulations. It's just as important for people that cannabis loves to entourage with other medicinal flowers and herbs, not just itself, but when we do, we're extending our value once again. So deliberate formulations, why are we doing this? How are we doing it? Who has it worked for? So that's kind of where we focus in terms of, education.
I'd say lighten and enlighten, right? Lighten is always our goal. So we're a solution provider. We want to, have everything well-rounded and all packaged up with a nice bow at the end of the day, going from, the idea all the way to on the shelf. So lightening the load for our clients and, their projects and their, product expansions, that's always our goal. And by doing so enlightening them, the cornerstone of our, our company and our innovation has always been technology driven. It's always been staying ahead of the curve. I come from the medical industry and surgery, so it was always about understanding, what's next, how can I do this more efficient and better? And that piece of it is, someone's life was on the line, right? So we really took that kind of, perspective into what we're doing now and helping enlighten our customers with what really is the most efficacious technology for their given application? How do we communicate this again to their client base? Making sure that they are aware of maybe new research and, understandings of rare minor cannabinoids that are, becoming more prevalent, different things like that, to help give them a broader perspective to, understand what products maybe they're not even thinking of that they want to see on the shelf. So.
From our side, we offer, to our client new innovative products that are not in the market. We offer them some new things, not to be a me too, very innovative, very sophisticated products. This is what we are enlightening to our customers. Also, the unique IP to mask the flavoring. People to understand that cannabis, it could be in every food item, and it's like a superfood, as Maya said, and it's not necessary to feel the cannabis flavor in order to eat, and to understand that you're eating a food infused with the cannabis. This is something very important because, as we see in the market, lots of products have this bad taste of cannabis, and we want to eliminate it and to give our customers understand that it's also another way of product. Only with the hint of cannabis, you still feel the flavor, you feel the taste, but you have also something which is good to eat, good taste.
Okay. What about you, Elad?
Actually, as you have said, we are putting our center of interest in the flavor. It's still a mystery, but some of the people like a little bit cannabis flavor for the psycho effect, and the placebo effect. And we found out that this is like a major thing, the placebo. So we done in Israel some kind of experiment on people, actually. So we gave them, it was some kind of a small cannabis convention. And we gave people to taste the green shakes and green popcorn. Nothing inside, not even hemp seed oil. Only green coloring. And people were high. You can't explain it, but people were like happy and coming back and forth, asking for more. Mm-hmm. And then it was amazing. Even they done like a TV, a small TV a trial. And actually there were like people getting high. So we understand that the flavor need to be there at the end, but as you have said, it doesn't need to be in the center, because cannabis flavor is not good. People can say what they want, but it's not a good flavor in food. It's a very smoky, grassy flavor, even like a rotten grass in food products. And at the end, as we see it, cannabis will be in the regular industry. So people will want to eat it, you know, with a good flavor, a good product that will be in first in the future. Good product before everything.
Got it. Okay. Thanks, Elad. So let's do one more question, and then we'll jump into the Q&A. Make sure you guys pop in the Q&A questions in there. Basically, on our end, you know, how, where your companies are in whatever stage they're in, how can the audience help? Are you guys looking to connect with anyone in particular? What are ways in which the audience can kind of help you at this point?
Well, I'll start. We are always looking, of course, for more investors in the company. As you know, marketing, sales, especially in the US, it's something that costs lots of money. So we are always looking for fundraising for companies. And also, of course, to team up with the distributors, with other manufacturers, to do joint ventures. This is something very important to us. To bring our products to every state in the US, especially with the THC, which is something that we cannot move from state to state. Mm-hmm. We need to manufacture it locally, and it's something that costs lots of money. And we are looking for partners to partner with us in our brands or a private label also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Maya?
Well, I like the way you touched on a number of things there. We're always open to other country partners. We also do custom formulations for people. We've done many in the industry for some of the largest brands out there. We just keep them pretty private. We also do consultations. Of course, if you can treat yourself to a bath and experience it yourself, I think you'll hopefully work cannabis into your self-care and our CBD salts into your self-care. We have them in as well at Om Wellness. But even bigger than all of that, I guess I would ask every person call to action to somehow be a part of this revolution that we're witnessing right now. There are a lot more protests going on than there were during the Civil War. They're international. A lot of it's happening online. And there's so many ways to help. So I just urge every single person to use your platform, whether you have a brand or individuals to reach out to. People need good positivity and help support right now. And COVID is showing us how connected that we are. So I would ask everyone, if you help us help the world by doing a good thing and paying it forward.
Awesome. Thank you, Maya, for that. What are you, Kevin?
I would say, you know, we're looking for people with good ideas that are looking to execute on them. You know, we're looking for creative ideas, and, you know, there's been a void and a lack in the market of safe and consistent, you know, products. There's this big question mark, and the media and everyone has really emphasized that, and to the, hopefully the benefit of the industry, right? So anyone that's looking, you know, to develop good, consistent, high quality products. We have the solutions for THC and hemp, you know, alike. And, you know, we would be looking to provide those solutions. So yeah, it's on a very basic level. You know, we have great technologies and we want to make great products. So we want to work with people with that mindset.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin. All right. So let's jump into the Q&A section. I know some of them have been answered, but I just definitely want to broadcast these to the group, so everyone basically has an idea of what's kind of been discussed and everything else. So let me go here. Let me share my screen real quick. Okay. So, like I said, pop in your questions right now and we'll announce them for a second. Just real quick, we're actually going to do a few more upcoming events in the next couple weeks. We're going to be covering a lot of different topics in conjunction with a few innovation houses and a few sponsors as well, including Virtosa and a few other ones that we're going to announce very soon. So we're going to cover a lot of different topics, including minority cannabis excellence, psilocybin and food, the hemp huggers, what I call hemp huggers is kind of the hemp products that are actually being launched, the educators in the space, and then touch upon beverage in the next coming weeks. Okay. And then if you could just follow us on our social media platforms, we're on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and all those great things. So let's launch the Q&A section. Okay, so first question. What have each of you found as an intelligent and legal way to utilize social media to build awareness?
We love incorporating testimonials into our social media. When they come in, they're so beautiful and gratifying and bring so much pleasure that it's nice to share them with other people so people can see who products have worked for. Pretty much all of our photos that we post now are high resolution. I think for cannabis particularly, it's very important to utilize social media because we don't have very many avenues for advertisement. So you have a bit more freedom, but still some limitations. So I would say if you're not one for making things aesthetically pleasing, beautiful, then delegate that and hire someone who can, because it's super important to have you know, a certain look on social media if for cannabis in particular.
Okay. Yeah, the social media one's a tough one, cannabis. And hemp too, you know, so it depends on the platform. Like Facebook's been tough. It's one of those things where a lot of companies, I think they, you know, start to build that awareness and it gets taken down and they put it back up and it gets taken down. So, you know, what we've done is, I mean, LinkedIn is a great tool to utilize. It has a wide audience of, you know, that's business oriented, or at least, you know, that's the thought there. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to network and, you know, find opportunities that, you know, might have otherwise stayed covered. But yeah, you know, I think there's different tricks for utilizing Instagram and other things. But for the most part, we stick to current events and, you know, educational awareness, which just kind of drives traffic to, you know, our site. And yeah, try to capitalize on that.
Well, for us, it's a bit different because we build a brand with the option to work on social media because we have the green ones, hemp seeds. Mm-hmm. So hemp seeds, basically, they are not stopping. You can even sell it on Amazon legally. So, and then this way we are building the brand awareness because all the packaging look the same, but it's only a different color. So we are pumping a lot of the green packaging and we are sending people to our site. And in the site, they can see also the CBD ones and all the others that we have there.
Yeah. Social media is also definitely a challenge, especially with the Facebook. At the beginning, as Elad said, we try to load all kinds of posts, especially with the CBD. We try to, you know, make some awareness with that. And immediately after a few minutes, sometimes if you get lucky, a few hours, a few days, it stays and then they take you off. But once we stay with the green line, with the hemp seeds, we see everything is going smoothly. And we stay with that for now. Otherwise, it's like a ping pong with Facebook. You put something on, they take it down.
They take you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One other question, actually a few other questions after this. How does someone with a culinary background launch a THC CBD product or brand and get into the market? I think we could take this one on a high level, but what are your thoughts?
So basically I can say I have a very I work in a Michelin star restaurant, a 3 Michelin star restaurant. And I have like 15 years at least in kitchens, mm-hmm. in a fine dining restaurants, and even more than that. But basically, it's a very, very different world because you need to compromise. In a Michelin star restaurant, you never compromise.
Right.
But when you're trying to take your food and try to move it to the industry, flavoring, industry, production, it's completely, completely different. It can be done, but you need to get a professional food technologist with you. Myself, I'm a food technologist also, so I can combine both worlds, but basically you need somebody to translate it from your culinary language to production language. But it's completely different.
But what about you, Maya, Kevin?
Well, you could simply learn an infusion technique and then make anything you want, medicated or infused. Not to sound like grim or anything like that, but I don't know if it's a great time to enter the market right now with a new product, just because business is so wonky with COVID. And I think buyers are only people they have established relationships with, if they even feel comfortable with doing an in-person meeting. But now's a great time to game plan. I would encourage people to collaborate, educate, come up with something new. Do your market research, see what needs to be done out there, you know.
Two different questions in that one. So THC, like if we're just going literal, THC obviously definitely need to have the state licenses for, you know, whatever action you're performing, whether it's distribution or retail or cultivation, so forth, right? So if you're launching a new product or brand, you need to make sure that you have distribution in place, the retail in place, the infusion, you know, depending on the state in place, that process. All of that comes down to lining up with solid contract manufacturers. Contract manufacturers on THC are everything. You know, gone are the days kind of everyone trying to vertically integrate everything into, you know, THC within their organization, and contract manufacturers are becoming more and more utilized by, you know, large gummy manufacturers, really any multi-state operators that need to utilize that. So THC, having all that in place, it's a much longer process, but, you know, compared to CBD and hemp, CBD and hemp, you don't necessarily need those licenses, but again, you need an accredited and certified manufacturing partner that's producing. Really, you want CGMP certified extracts, whether that's CBD or other hemp cannabinoids, terpenes and so forth. And then it's, again, it's just a little bit easier path to market. You don't necessarily need to have those state certified distributors and infusion process. You can work with, you know, traditional CPG canneries or contract manufacturers that are making, you know, traditional food products or beverages. So just two different pathways there, but definitely doable. Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Are there any recommendations for learning infusion techniques, short courses, any ways of kind of getting involved and working on your own there?
I'll jump in. I think Maya, you said it right. I mean, you can infuse anything at home, you know, that's the like, we're all sitting here infusing these great products and they look beautiful on the shelf and everything, but you know, again, the simplicity is that you can take oil and extract it from flour and infuse in your own home. So I think how-tos and just looking on YouTube for innovative ways to do so is always great.
There's a lot of movies in YouTube, internet. You can learn how to do it by yourself. But if you want to do it professionally, I think you should take a course or something in the university or something certified if you want to do it, you know, on the professional way, or to take advisors that can do it for you.
Okay. I'm going to broadcast this one because it's a long, long question. As a food scientist product developer, I work with global CPG clients who are curious about expanding their brands into this space. However, are concerned with the safety and the active ingredients, especially given the lack of transparency in the industry. Scientific articles in Europe also have indicated the concern of nanoemulsions, particles, and overall safety. with the majority of finished products using nanoemulsions, particles, do you see a shift in the use of more transparent, natural ingredients? If yes, where do you see it going?
I hope to see people tighten up on the terminology of full spectrum. When you do get into kind of these super extracted, isolated things, you're losing quite a bit of value. And we have some products that we only use, you know, distillate in. So, but for the most part, when we create our products, we use as much full sun organic, even though we're not allowed to say it, cannabis flowers as we can, because it really brings the full medicinal value to the infusion. So I would encourage people to do research about that and check out the difference of a full spectrum product versus an isolate, you know, or distillate product and feel the difference. Isolate products definitely still work, but there's a lot to be said about everything.
I'd say the nano conversation is an ongoing one. You know, there's this big question mark of, you know, what's the right particulate size and what's safe and what's not safe? You know, is this being absorbed into areas, you know, once I digest this and process it that I'm unaware of? Like, so, you know, we have, in different of the technologies that we've decided to incorporate into our product development, these are the questions we ask ourselves. You know, there's this big void in the industry of, like, you know, transparency, right? And with manufacturers holding on to industry trade secrets and not being, you know, completely forthcoming of the processes utilized to get to this end product and really what's in the end product. So moving towards more natural produced products is definitely going to be a direction that the industry is going to move in and continually move in. You know, I mentioned the honey that we work into a couple different projects currently and ongoing. You know, that's a perfect example of a way to step outside of this nano emulsion type setting and, you know, utilize nature to produce a superior product and input. So I think there's going to be a push towards organic. You know, you mentioned THC. Unfortunately, cannabis can't have that yet, but hemp does. So I think, you know, the more qualifications, the more just that qualifying of manufacturers and suppliers will lead to, you know, a better, safer food supply chain.
What about you, Yaf? Gilad?
Well, I think in the future we need to go for as much as organic products, as much as clean label product, transparency, because right now you see in products, I think we talked about it before, lots of in numbers, lots of unknown ingredients. And if we are looking at superfood as cannabis, I think all the chain, all the entire product should be as much as clean label as you can. And definitely organic ingredients.
What about you, Ilan?
And we are always on the market to find, you know, more effective method to infuse the product and to infuse them with a better quality ingredients, active ingredients, and, you know, with a fewer amounts, but with a better potency. So at the end, you will, as a lot of now people, in the beginning was like 50 milligrams that people put, 100 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams. But in the past year, everybody is going to the 5 to 10 milligrams because it's a lot safer, as somebody says before about all the stacking effects. So edibles for the, you know, the people that are just trying for the first time, it's a very confusing because of the stacking effect, because of the, it's not, do any effect in the first 30 to 60 minutes. And this is the thing that I think most worrying us. So we are now exploring a new technology in order to reduce it, to shorten the time to 10 minutes and to actually, as I said, to put more efficiency in the active ingredients so it will be a more safe product for people to consume.
All right. Thanks, Elon. Just final remarks. Just let us know, you know, what do you guys want people to kind of know about your brand or what you're doing in the space? Who wants to start?
So basically, our brand, we see the Pelican as a leading brand in this industry and as a brand that covers all the various active ingredients. So we are doing now, as we said, hemp seeds, CBD, THC, and we are going to infuse all any active materials that we can. Let's say we don't want to do it now, but as the industry will evolve, and we want to put our brand as a leading brand in this industry.
You can find us in California for our THC products at ohmedibles.org, and our CBD products are available for worldwide shipping at ohm-wellness.com. I would just encourage everybody to explore their connection with cannabis, because people that consume cannabis truly do make better products, and that could even be someone who's using CBD. That's my little last 2 cents.
All right. I want to try your Epsom salts. I saw them on.
I have to get you some.
All right. We'll do it. Yoav?
Well, we invite everybody in this panel and outside this panel to try our products and our colleagues here products and encourage this industry, because there are truly great products infused with CBD, with THC, with hemp. And we want more and more people to discover this amazing superfood, which is truly amazing.
Thanks, Yoav. What about you, Kevin?
Just to follow Vertical Growth Innovations, you know, keep posted and stay tuned for new products and partners that we're working with and going to be launching over the year. You know, again, our whole thing is technology and staying differentiated and keeping our clients and their products differentiated. So, you know, licensed THC markets, we're in California, we're based out of Denver, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, you know, hemp, obviously, domestically, Canada, you know, we're pretty versatile. So if you're looking for a unique formulation and raw materials, we're the, you know, a good a place to stop.
Mm-hmm. I also got the little sample that you sent me. So
snap packs?
Yeah, snap pack, yeah. Those are cool.
Those are great. You just snap them right in the middle, and yeah. you know if it's a liquid or whatever, it just comes out. You know.
Yeah, it tastes good. I love the color. Flavor is really balanced. It's nice.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for all your time today and all the insights that you share with me. I'll keep in touch with y'all. Y'all should definitely keep in touch with each other. This world is so small, and I'm sure you guys will run into each other. And once the conference is open and all those things, I'm sure you all meet each other and hope to meet you all hopefully in the future. So thanks for everything. Thanks for all the insights. Be safe.